Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We have victory. And so we sing today, expecting in the celebration of the birth of Jesus, who came to set us free. And we are so thankful for what he did on the cross for us. And so we lift Jesus' name high and open our hearts as Brother Cal preaches and teaches the words, that we may be transformed by it and bless him. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people say,
amen. Well, we finished Thanksgiving, and now we're moving towards Christmas. Isn't God good? And all the time. Thank you for your presence here today. And as, well, the sun shines out. Amen. Bring it on. Brother Andrew and I were talking last week about moving through this season of Advent. I've never preached on Advent stuff until last year. But it really hoped, really, really helped me, because you begin with hope and then peace and joy and love. And so that's what we're going to be talking about over these next several weeks as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now, y'all are going to celebrate in your own way, but I want to tell you something. Read the Christmas story at some point in time. Just read through that. It'll bless you. If you have a Bible this morning, we are in maybe the most familiar scripture that we read at Christmas time. Isaiah 9, verses 6, and I'll probably read verse 7. Let's all stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. He's so strong, he only needs one shoulder to hold up the government. Isn't that cool? And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, hallelujah, there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want to talk to you about a breakthrough of hope this morning. Billy Walker, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Father, help my brother as he brings us the word this morning, not by might,
yes,
nor by power, but let him preach by your Spirit. Open our hearts and let us be receptive to what you would have us to hear this morning. Help us to honor you in all that you do. We love you. It's in the great, big, strong name of Jesus Christ we pray.
Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned a minute ago, this may be the most familiar, the most favorite scripture read, the most often quoted scripture read at Christmas time. All of you are familiar with it, probably. Most of you are. As, well, I mean, we preach about it, we sing about it, we teach about it, we love it, we share it. And 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah prophesied and predicted that there was coming a Jewish Messiah and Gentile Savior. And this king, this savior, this Lord, this master would be everything that the people of God needed. How many of you know Jesus is our all in all? Glory to his name. And so He would be everything that the folks needed in order to have a relationship with God and to continue that relationship with God. And it was necessary for Christ to come exactly the way that he came. Let me say that again. It was necessary, it was imperative that Jesus would come in the way that he came. How many of you would agree with your preacher this morning? I want to be your pastor if I'm not your pastor. Hallelujah. But how many of you would agree with me this morning that there's never been anybody like Jesus? Never was, never will be. Amen. Give him praise in the house today. And so Isaiah gives us three reasons that we can have this hope today, because it's all found in the Lord Jesus. Now, the first thing, if you're following along, how many of y'all actually use these sermon outlines? Because if you don't, we'll just stop making them and I'll just, you know. Okay, so y'all actually do use these, some of you? About six of you? All right. Okay. Well, just follow along with me there. First of all, hope is found in the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Hope is found in his humanity. Now, Scripture says, for unto us a child is born. Us. He's talking about us. Unto us a child is born. Now, you need to know the historical background here. The nation, well, the northern kingdom of Israel had already been destroyed and defeated by the Assyrian army. They're done. And now, the southern kingdom of Judah was under attack. And King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians were about to destroy the southern kingdom of Judah. And so Isaiah's prophecy had been hard to hear up to this point. But when he declares the hope that is found in the coming Messiah, I mean, it was like a shining light in a dark night. And so it really blessed the people of God to hear this prophecy. And he would be this king, this Messiah, this Savior, this Lord that was coming would be everything that the people of God needed. He would be the coming King. Now, I'm sure they were looking for some political power or some military genius to come and take Israel back to power. But when Jesus was born, he was born as a baby. We tend to forget about that. He had to be dressed like a baby. He had to be fed like a baby. He had to be taken care of like a baby. He had to be loved like a baby should be loved. Amen? And I mean, he cried like a baby. He cooed like a baby and he pooed. Well, he was a baby. Y'all with me so far? And I love what John 1:14 says. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God spilling himself out in human flesh. He came to earth as a human being. So why did he have to come to earth as a human being? Well, I'm glad you asked. He had to come as a man because of sin. Sin is our great problem. It's our big issue. And a man had to pay the price for the penalty of breaking God's law. Mankind broke the law, didn't live up to God's standards. We had broken all the commandments, and so we needed a man who could pay the penalty and the price for breaking. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And so a man, capital M, had to come and pay the penalty for mankind. But not just any man could pay the penalty for all sin. It had to be a man like Jesus. Had to be a man like Jesus. And so he had to come because of this issue of sin. He had to come as a human being. And then secondly, he had to come as a man to free us from sin. Listen to what Romans 5:19 says. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Mankind's disobedience to the law had disqualified all of us in being able to enter into a relationship with God. Now, this kind of sounds like heresy at first, but did y'all know there's two ways to get to heaven? Well, of course, one way is you got to have Jesus. The second way is you got to be perfect. Well, guess what? The only one perfect is Jesus, right? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when Jesus came, he came to free us up from our sin issue. And Adam's original sin has been passed down to everyone that's ever been born. Scripture, I don't want to throw a big word on you, but Adam's sin has been imputed to each one of us. My parents, their parents, my great-great-grandparents, all the way back to Adam, we've got this issue of sin. We're born into sin because of Adam's original sin. And then we prove that we're sinners when we're old enough to know it's sin and we do it anyways. Come on, don't look all spiritual at me now. Y'all understand what we're talking about. And so when Jesus came, listen to what 1 Corinthians 15:45 says. The first Adam became a living being, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. We needed a perfect man to live up to God's perfect law. And Jesus was that man. Praise God, the line and lineage of sin has been broken. Hallelujah. Some of y'all, I guess, just don't remember when you were lost. But bless God, our sins had separated us from God. And so we needed someone who could live up to God's standards. And that someone is Jesus. But I like this. Jesus not only had to become a man in order to take care of this sin issue and to free us from sin, but he became our mediator. He's our go-between. Hallelujah. You needed a mediator. I needed one. I love how 1 Timothy 2:5 describes this. It says there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. If you want to have a relationship with God, you got to come through Jesus. Hallelujah. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor, if you want to put it that way. For unto us a child is born. Aren't you glad that Jesus became a human being? Here's the second truth. Follow along with me. Hope is also found in his deity. Look again at verse 6. For unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is given. Now, Jesus was born as a child, a baby. We talked about that, but he wasn't quite like us, all right? He was like us, but he wasn't like us. Does that make sense? He's always been God. Now, I don't completely understand all that, but I'm not called to understand everything. I'm just called to believe everything. He was fully God and fully man. There's never a time when Jesus was not God. He's always been God. He is God. He wasn't born as God. He'd always been God, and he's never ceased to be God. Now, Isaiah 7:14, I think we read that. The Hendersons read this verse in Isaiah 7:14 this morning. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I don't want to just mess up your theology, but the virgin birth was not a miracle. The virgin conception was the miracle. The Holy Spirit of God moved on the Mother Mary. Now, Jesus had a mother. How many of y'all have a mama? Well, some of y'all didn't raise a hand, and you're a liar because you had a mama. You had a mama. And Jesus had a mother. But Joseph was his stepdad. Why? Because his father was our heavenly father. Never been anyone quite like Jesus. Fully man, fully God. And the blood running through his veins are royal. And so somehow, and I don't understand all that either, but I do know, I believe what the Bible says, that the Spirit of God moved on Mary and she conceived and gave birth to a child. And because of that, a son has been given. Now, now Jesus is not only God, he'll always be God. Hello? He'll always be God. I love this old song. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's Son of God. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's everything. Messiah, Jehovah, the Prince of Peace is He. Son of Man, Seed of Abraham, second person of the Trinity. Don't you like those old gospel songs? They all give us truth, and I like that one because it tells us that Jesus is not only has been God, He is God, and He always will be God. Jesus had to be God, first of all, for the purpose of atonement. Hebrews 2 and 17 says, He had to be made like man in order to be the... Now, here's a big Bible word. I don't want to throw it on you, but it's the word propitiation. This is really the Old Testament word for mercy seat. Jesus had to be God for the purpose of atonement so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that He could become the sacrifice, the payment for our sin. Romans 3, 23 says, we're all short of the glory of God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're short. But He's not. He's not. Hallelujah. The only one that could pay for the sins of humanity was Jesus. We've talked about this incessantly over the last 2 and 3 weeks. Jesus had to be God for the purpose of living a sinless life. No other person ever born can fit this bill. No one can. We're all short of the glory. Hebrews 4:14 says, He was tempted in all points, tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus was tempted to sin in every way that we're tempted to sin and do sin. He understands. And the Bible says He's available to give us help in when we're under temptation. Hello? By the way, that terrible sin that we did this morning, you didn't have to do it. All you had to do was turn to Him. He understands what all that's like. He had to be God in order to live that kind of life. Hallelujah. And then Jesus had to be God that He might defeat death, hell, and the grave. Now, Jesus not only defeated the problem of sin on the cross, He defeated the problem of death in the tomb. After He died and was buried, what happened 3 days later? Hallelujah. He rose from the grave. You know, you just can't keep glory in a grave. You know, guys, you just can't keep glory in a grave. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. Let me come over here to the left side of the room. Y'all are actually on the right side of the room if you're looking up this way, right? You can't keep glory in a grave. He's alive today. And so He has defeated death, hell, and the grave for us. And He had to, that's why He's God. No one else could do that. But by the way, it's amazing. Every Easter, there's always some kind of news clip. Oh, we found the bones of Jesus. Don't you think if they could have found the body of Jesus and the bones of Jesus years later, they would have dug all that mess up? You're not going to find the bones of Jesus because He's in His glorified humanity today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He'd have still been God even if He'd never calmed a storm on a raging sea. He'd have still been God even if He'd never caused a blinded eye to see. He'd have still been God even if He'd never brought a crippled man to His feet. It's not about what He did. It's all about who He was. Because even if He'd never done a single miracle, Jesus would have still been God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't completely understand all this either. But Jesus came down from heaven as Son of Man and did what God sent Him to do. And went back to heaven. He came down as Son of God, but He went back as Son of Man. Came down as humanity and God, and then went. And today, right now, even as we're sitting here, even as we're talking about Him, guess what? There's a glorified man on the throne in heaven. A glorified man on the throne in heaven. Y'all, if I'd have preached this down the street at Awaken Church, they'd all been up running around the building. Hallelujah. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I need to hurry now. We're on the last point here. hope is found not only in his humanity and his deity, but also in his sovereignty. Now, the latter part of verse 6 and verse 7 talks about the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Say Wonderful. Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. Yes. His name shall be called the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah has now moved forward to the millennial reign of Christ. When Jesus comes back to the earth with the saints of God, by the way, and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And Jesus is going to reign and rule from Jerusalem. And guess who's going to reign and rule with him? Some of y'all have got that moon calf look. If you're saved, you're coming back with him in your glorified state, and you're going to help reign and rule with him. And he's going to reign and rule with a rod of righteousness. Hallelujah. And I just want to go on record and say he's wonderful. I want to go on record and say he is the Counselor. And as Counselor, he has the wisdom to rule justly. As Mighty God, he has the power to carry out his plan. As Everlasting Father, he is one with the Father and alive forevermore. And as Prince of Peace, hallelujah, he's going to bring all wars to an end. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? All wars are going to cease. And by the way, he will not only bring peace then, today he's making peace between God and men. Remember, he's the mediator. And he's bringing peace to those who would look to him by faith. And by the way, brothers and sisters, that was good news for the folks in Isaiah's day, and that's good news for us today. It's the best news anybody will ever hear. Now, let me just ask you in closing today, Jesus has been crowned in heaven. Has he received a personal crowning in your heart of hearts? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Has he been born in your heart, in your life? I've said this every Christmas here at Second Mile. This will be our 7th Christmas. Wow. The greatest gift that you can give to Jesus is yourself, your life. And I can't tell you, I wish I could had time to give you my personal testimony this morning, but I want to tell you, he's changed my life. I'm not perfect, not yet. I still make mistakes. I still say stupid things, have bad thoughts, but I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Amen. And he is with me, and he is my wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He's my Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And I just want everybody to know him. And you got to come to him his way. Just like he had to come the Father's way as a baby boy, we've got to come to him his way. And you come to him in broken repentance over your sin issue. The word repent means to turn, change of the mind, to change of the will. And turn to Jesus as your only means of salvation, giving him everything that you are to everything that he is. Listen, friend, he's already Savior, but what he wants to be is Lord. He wants to be the Lord of your life. Is he the boss? Is he the Lord of your life? If you'll receive him the way the Bible says to receive him, you'll get both. A lot of Baptist folks think they've got fire insurance. And I want to tell you what, it's so much more than that. Where are you today in your walk with God? Let's pray together. Father, as David Crowder sings, all our hope is in Jesus. Every bit of it. And so, Father, I want to lift up all of those that are in this congregation that are not absolutely 100% sure that they've given their heart to Jesus. They don't have that peace that passes all understanding. They don't have that daily counselor. They don't have what can only be found in Jesus. And so I pray today, God, we've had several people pray to receive Christ these last few weeks. Don't let anybody leave Second Mile Church lost and on their way to hell. Oh, God, speak to our hearts here today. If you're in the building this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd pray something like this and really mean it with all of your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from you. But I know that you paid the price for all my sin. And right now, by faith, I'm looking to you to be my eternal hope. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I promise to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you prayed that way here today, I've said all of that to say this. We believe you just got saved right there in your seat. But you cannot be a private Christian. Jesus died publicly, and we all need to claim allegiance to him publicly. And as we sing here in just one moment, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat. And you can do one of two things. You can either come to this altar and we'll have counselors here with you. We want to get some stuff in your hands to help you get started right in your new life. Or you can go to our war room right back here, the prayer room, and there'll be a counselor or two back there. And they can pray over you. But you need to take that stand for Jesus today. And maybe you're here and, man, you just need some hope. Everything seems to be falling apart. Relationships have gone south on you. Maybe you're just destitute, depressed. You feel like lonely. Nobody else understands. Jesus understands. Would you come so we could pray over you and ask God to fill you with joy and peace and love and hope? Father, this is your time. Right now is the time for folks to respond. God, lead us to where we need to be this morning, spiritually. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and you come. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.